amendments? Okay, seeing none. Conflict of interest.
Under 9A and 9B, the appointment of the vice mayor and boards and committee appointments, those should have been under 10, section 10. So if the assembly is okay with it, those will actually be considered under 10A, 10B, not 9A, 9B.
All right. Okay. I don't think, does anybody want to move that resolution under consent agenda to discuss it? I don't think we need to. All right. No other amendments to the agenda. Conflict of interest. Does any assembly member have a conflict on any item? Seeing none. Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoard. Any discussion? Consent agenda. All right, hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes, assembly members Davenport?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Borough manager's report. We'll start with the borough manager's report first.
Hi, Mayor. So just real quick, I'll be out of the office from October 12th to the 23rd. On vacation, going out for my reunion, 30 years, so getting old. SEPA does not have a plan to increase rates in 2024. Robert Seaman has requested a work session to give an update to the assembly, and we have scheduled that for October 24th, so that'll be a work session then. But he just kind of wanted to give an update on SEPA and kind of where they're at and what the plans are moving forward, and it was something we'd request at the SEPA meeting the last board meeting we had to have them do that. So he agreed and he's going to come and do a visit.
So when you say no rate increases in 24, do you mean
calendar
December 23?
Correct.
Okay.
Calendar year 24.
So September or December 24 is up in the air right now.
No, for next year.
Okay. So
January 1st through December 20 or December.
Okay, good.
Cindy Curry has offered her resignation on their last day on December 15th, and I'd like to thank Cindy for her hard work and dedication to the Nolan Center and the community of Wrangell, and we'll be advertising for her replacement, and hopefully we'll have some overlap with her position. For the harbor, airplane float was repaired, and new decking was installed. The new non-skid surface was also applied to enhance safety. Shoemaker Harbor boat launch maintenance was carried out on the boat launch ramp. Crane hydraulic repairs were done at Shoemaker. Trident Seafood Operations. Trident Seafoods has completed its operations, and as a result, the Marine Service Center is now available for winter maintenance. I think it was a very successful season for Trident by all measure, and sounds like they're going to be back next year, hopefully. So I think that's a good thing for Wrangell. Cruise ship season has come to an end. So we saw the last one there, and the summer floats have been removed from the city dock. Security cameras at the harbor. Chatham Electric will begin installation the first week of November on the security cameras. So excited about seeing those go in. For public works, Eric Chive has started work in the streets department, filling the open maintenance specialist position. And he came over from Parks and Rec. So they'll have to be hiring a new position as well. So I think Public Works has taken most of the positions from most of the other departments, from Harbor and from Parks and Rec, so definitely having some new hiring in the other departments. By the end of October, staff will begin work on winter mobilization of equipment and for snow removal. They assisted with setting the poles for the AMI program. That's kind of, we'd mentioned the work session, how they kind of work together helping each other out, so appreciate those guys helping with the AMI installation. With the change in weather and increase in rain, staff has also been staying on top of ensuring clogged storm drains are cleared, and we've definitely had a lot of rain. As you mentioned, Wayne McCollum has retired from the water lead position after 20 years of service, and definitely big shoes to fill with Wayne, and wish him all the well in his future endeavors. One thing I did want to hit on the water department is our August water sampling did come in, and the results came in high for HAA5, which is a carcinogen, or cancer causing agent. So we're not overrunning for the year because it's a running average is what you do, but for that month we were high. A lot of contributing factors to that, very dry July, a lot of rain in August. So basically it kind of flooded our system with a lot of solids. Kind of as everything grew in July, no rain, then flooded everything. That's when when we dosed it with chlorine, it doesn't have time to settle out, and that's where it kind of hangs on, and that's what creates it. So that's the disinfection byproducts. Tom did a really good job of kind of explaining that in the report, so definitely recommend people going through it and reading it. And I'll be posting this online. It kind of goes in detail of some of the reasons why. But we were high, so kind of gets into one of our other agenda items, which is the water treatment plant. It's definitely needed, especially in times like this where we just can't keep up with the water flow whenever we need it. We continue to wait on our 301H waiver permit for our wastewater treatment plant. We haven't got that yet. We recently filled the last open water wastewater apprentice operator position, John Campbell Wright, and then he'll begin work with the city in, after tomorrow, October 12th. And we have begun getting our new employees the necessary training for them to get certified as water wastewater operator. For sanitation, on October 6th, there was a rock slide that destroyed the burn pit area at the transfer station. Fortunately, no one was injured, but for those that would like to take wood to get it burned there, that's no longer the case. It's going to be down for...
I got an update on that.
All right.
Yeah, so did take out the burn pit and everything. There's still a good amount of material kind of hanging off the edge. You can see it's a lot of just broken, busted kind of hanging rock. I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when it's coming down. So we are keeping a certain area blockaded off to keep people out of, kind of the worst looking area. And we were able to get a handful of racks and blocks out here. We were able to kind of reach in and scratch at it with the excavator, get that stuff out. So I'll send out a public notification tomorrow, but we should be able to begin reaccepting most wood waste or burnable material. So we should be kind of back good to go. It's not ideal. We're probably going to have to buy new racks and certain things like that and work to rebuild it to the way it was, but I think we'll be able to get by in the meantime.
Would just for information for the public, would you tell us what the approximate cost for new racks is? I know it got my attention.
Yeah, so we have concrete blocks that are stacked up, so that we can get some airflow and everything underneath it and really burn that fire, because we're burning a lot of wet brush, green alders, different things like that. And so get them up off the ground, and then we have nice steel racks that we burn everything over. And, the high heat and everything from the fires, within about a year and a half, they start getting pretty twisted. They start warping quite a bit from all the heat. And we've been replacing them about every year and a half. And the last time we did was a little over a year ago, and it was $10,000 at the time. And so there's a chance that it's gone up since then, but that's what it was about a year ago. And we do source those locally here in town. Someone builds them for us.
Thank you.
All right. As I mentioned earlier, so for the Parks and Recreation, the parks custodian light maintenance, the job is posted internally and will be posted on the public if we don't get anyone to submit internally October 5th. So it's currently out on the public right now. So hopefully we get someone to take that position, or at least fill that position. And the community center continues to see an increase in usage with youth basketball, adult and family focused activities and classes. So definitely a big shout out to Parks and Rec for advertising those positions, getting them going, and then or the different services, and then increasing the usage in there. The expanded hours that was on Sunday has been successful so far, 10 to 15 people on Sunday, so that's pretty good for that facility on a Sunday. And then the four broken windows that separated the lobby from the pool have been replaced, and then the rest of them were taken out, corrosion's been repaired, and then the windows put back in. So good job of kind of recognizing that and the crew getting those repaired. So some of the planning going on. They are working on some playground replacement planning, and they're seeking public input through community questionnaires, identity needs, and then identifying needs, and then creating a funding initiative to hopefully get some of that done. So they are working on that. The Petroglyph Beach access, and we had a meeting on that as well. They did fix the broken step that was there, but it's going to be continued discussions on the Petroglyph Beach between us and the state and how we kind of move forward with that. And that's all I got.
Any questions for the borough manager? All right. Next up, economic development report.
Good evening. I'm going to keep it brief for two of the hottest topics out of our department, one being the Aldertop subdivision sales. So we had the privilege of meeting as an internal staff team, and I'm just going to give you the 30,000-foot view and invite you to participate in our Economic Development Board workshop that will be held on November 16th. But staff have kind of identified four priorities for the sale: ensuring it's fair, affordable, efficient use of the land, and has some uniformity to its development. There are four common ways that municipalities dispose of land. There's public surplus, sealed bid, lottery, or over-the-counter sales. We have a code or ordinance for public surplus, which often goes to the highest bidder in an open auction style. The sealed bid option is similar. It's an auction, but it's in a sealed envelope, and then at a prescribed date, it's opened, and whoever is the highest bidder would earn that opportunity or first right of refusal. And then the lottery is a little bit more fair and equitable across the board. It's a land sale by lottery draw prior to being placed on the open market, so folks can essentially purchase tickets per lot, however many lots we limit them to, and however many tickets per lot we would limit them to. And then we draw for that, and whoever is drawn first gets the first right of refusal for that sale. Or there's over-the-counter, which typically happens if lots don't sell in the public surplus or lottery style or sealed bid, they would be offered over-the-counter. So those are the four common ways that we've kind of reviewed and discussed the case studies of other communities that have conducted sales in those fashions. So we're evaluating what the best option is for us in the phase one lot sale, which has 22 parcels available. And we're also looking at criteria of the sale or stipulations, whether that be a requirement to have Alaska residency, a certain number of years or terms for development, like you have to develop within 5 years of purchasing the land, minimum down payments. Another stipulation that we saw that was interesting was in order to qualify for lottery sale, you couldn't already own land. So it gets the land into the hands of first-time landowners or home builders, which would be a positive thing, although there are some challenges or downfalls to that. And then limiting the number of parcels that people can purchase so that you don't have a monopoly on the land or something like that. Other considerations that we've reviewed: borough financing, selling the land for less than fair market value, allowing for the earnest money to be applied to the down payment. Things that we need to do internally: determine the style of sale, purchase price, qualifications that we would require, procedures, terms of the sale, limitations, and then general advertisements and how we want to market that to the community. And in terms of uniformity, something that we would look at is restrictive covenants, which are clauses that prevent, prohibit, restrict, or limit the actions of a person or entity. And in particular for real estate, it governs the appearance or permissive use of residential or commercial property. So something that you might consider here, I mean, obviously home or subdivisions that have an HOA, they might limit all kinds of things: what you can park in your driveway, how manicured your lawn is. Obviously, we would not go to that extreme, but maybe how you manage drainage off your property would be something that we would want to focus on in this wet environment. Another option would be exterior maintenance, like what's required, or making sure that your exterior is finished at a certain point in the development or build of your home. So those are all the things that we've been looking at. Staff got really excited reviewing these case studies. We have a second meeting internally next week with staff. We kind of met, discussed the overview, went and did some assignments, a little bit further research, and then we're coming back together as a staff team. And then we'll work with the Economic Development Board on November 16th, kind of present a preliminary plan, let them poke holes in it, study the plat, learn more about the case studies that we've reviewed, and provide their input. And hopefully by December, we would have a recommendation to bring forward to this body so that you guys could actually weigh in on that and vote. You're certainly welcome to come to the November 16th meeting and participate in that work session, and we'll share the details of that and provide you with the supporting information if you're interested in it. The second item, another hot topic, yes? Yeah.
Are you going to have a public process for the, on this too before it comes to assembly and before you guys are all done?
I think we could, yeah. We could. I mean, the public is welcome to come to the work session and participate at that level for
sure. So that's a public meeting then?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. And then no action would be taken by the body at that time. So then we would have a second meeting in December or January, however expeditious we can be. And the public would be welcome to come to that as well. And we wouldn't be voting definitively on something, but rather voting to make a recommendation to you all.
Right. And
right.
And it comes to the assembly and...
Right. And then if it requires, you know, a non-codified ordinance or some change in how... Because we have a code for surplus or option of land, but we don't have, if we went with a lottery, we don't have that detailed in our code.
So, borough clerk.
So it would most likely come to the assembly in the form of a resolution to outline how what we're recommending on how these go for sale. That's how it would normally go.
Okay.
It may require ordinance.
No, it would require a resolution. So because that would state how the property is going to be sold.
Oh,
and it
okay.
gives all of the. That's what we do when we sell the property. It comes to you in the form of a resolution, and that outlines the process for the sale. And we just include the if it was probably some of them are going to go. It's either public lottery or in public surplus. That's how I see it happening. Mm-hmm. But and then it would have the restrictions and the restrictive covenants would be attached to that agenda item.
Okay. Come to the work session.
I will, because I don't fully understand how you can go to something fairly radical, being a lottery, and not have it in our code. So I'll research it, but go ahead.
You bet. Another hot topic. Larger ships are coming in 24. We have the 4 2,000 passenger ships in 24 and 2 3,000 passenger ships coming in 25. So with that, the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau is starting to frame up the tourism management plan, something that Wrangell's wanted to establish for a long time. The management plan would create some handrails for us. It would help us identify what niche Wrangell wants to grow into, what those thresholds are for visitors and the overall population of visitors coming to us within the season, and help identify what size or style of cruise ship we want coming to our community. So our public engagement and development process, we have a draft plan in the works. We'll establish a public meeting in December or January to kind of present on the economic overview of the region, Wrangell's profile, the industry profile, and then start looking at individual cruise ships and agencies and give you some projections on the revenues that are possible from the schedule that we have in 24 and 25, and then present some proposed options to the community so that they have a little bit more information to base their judgments off of, and then allow for a public comment period, revise the plan, and then bring it forward for review and approval to the CVB and the assembly. So hopefully that brings people a little bit more confidence. There is a lot of changing policy around the cruise industry right now. Juneau's putting a cap on how many cruises they can see in one day at five vessels. Wrangell's never going to have five vessels routinely here. And we, Jeff and I, had a nice meeting with Rick Erickson from Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska and basically said as much. Wrangell's bailiwick is not going to be the 2,000 to 3,000 passenger ships. We want to stay within those smaller expedition luxury style vessels and then maybe work our way up to that 800 to 1,200 passenger ship more frequently throughout the season that still fits within that niche that we can manage comfortably without changing the construct of the downtown area or who we are as a community. So just wanted to share that with folks. I know people feel some angst around the larger vessels coming in and what that looks like for our future, but right now there's no permanence to that. And we've been very clear with the industry about what our concerns are in the no-go areas, like tying up at the 4th of July or having more than one ship in at a time when we have those larger vessels here. So we're trying to be transparent and communicate openly with all of our stakeholders and get this plan in place that's going to give me and all of the officials and administrators legs to stand on when we go negotiate our terms with other people.
Borough manager?
Yeah, just to kind of add on that, I mean, that tourism management plan is key. I mean, it really is, because it's going to kind of drive everything moving forward. I've talked to Ketchikan, I've talked to Sitka, and they're kind of trying to put that genie back in the bottle right now, and it's tough to do. Mm-hmm. So they're basically trying to do what we're doing now, redefine what their tourism management plan is after the fact. And so working with the cruise ship and cruise agencies after they've already established those numbers, it's hard for them to control. Now they're trying to put those guardrails on. And so us doing that beforehand, it'll just give us a little bit better opportunity to kind of define what it is and what it's going to be. But like I said, it will be interesting over the next year with some of the bigger ships coming in. But not, like I said, I think the 1,000 person ship would be great if we can kind of get that steady flow in here with that number, and bigger ships, not as much.
Right. And you're right. These are two hot topics that the community is very interested in, the development of Aldertop Village and the frequency and the size of the cruise ships. So for the public, November 16 mm-hmm. is Aldertop discussion. And what date again for the public?
We don't have a date for the tourism management plan yet. The CVB is going to be meeting at noon on Wednesday, October 18th, so next Wednesday, just to review and approve our marketing plan. And then they'll review and discuss the preliminary framework for our tourism management plan. And then we'll notice the public on when we'll engage them in that process.
All right. So have the public kind of be on the alert. Mm-hmm. And you're correct. We need to find that sweet spot mm-hmm. In terms of passengers and frequency. All right. Any questions? All right. And financial report. An update,
I'll be even
please.
Briefer. I know you got a long meeting.
Kate always gets the fun things. Accounts receivable for the Harbor Utilities will be sent out an email tomorrow, so you guys will see that. Nothing concerning to note there. We also have our year-to-date September, so Q1 budget. I'll send that out in email as well, but everything's tracking accordingly. If it's not tracking accordingly, I've flagged it so you guys can see, and there's an explanation. Big announcement over property taxes. Nobody wants to hear it, but they are due on October 16th at 5 p.m. If you're mailing them in, please postmark it by that date to avoid any penalties occurring. We'll also, this is later, but after the 16th, we'll be doing once a month at the library, hosting help for senior exemptions for people to fill out their senior exemption paperwork. So stay tuned for further details on that, but happy to help people fill that stuff out. I'm going to schedule the next finance committee meeting, so I'll meet with Assemblymember Morrison and DeBoard after this meeting. I don't know if Morrison's here, but we'll schedule that, and we would plan to discuss sales tax and a funding plan for FY20. Regarding schools and roads and the general fund. I'm actually kind of working on a preliminary plan to present to the assembly now, but that's coming up, so we'll be working through an abundance of issues in the next finance committee meeting, so stay tuned for that. SRS proceeds, I'd recommend that we probably bring an agenda item to you guys to either retract or reappropriate that additional $64,000 that we provided to the school above the cap. And I think if you reappropriate it, I know that Juno received a letter saying, sorry, we were kind of wrong in our initial interpretation of state law. We're actually going to allow transportation and other activities outside of instruction to be funded over the cap. So we could reallocate it to a special purpose or a special revenue fund of the school, but further action does need to be taken, I think, to be compliant. So we want to avoid being on the same list that Juno is. So I'd just kind of defer to Jeff on maybe bringing something to the assembly there. And then tonight we're discussing the water treatment plant loan, so I won't steal Amber's thunder there, but I'll stand by for any financial questions because there is a lot of financing that's occurring as a result of that project. And tonight you have you're voting on approval of a $1.961 million loan. So I'll be here to add some context to that. And there's an amortization in your packet, amortization schedule. So just let me know if you have any questions.
Any questions, Assembly? On the property exemption, also remind people about the volunteer fire department EMT exceptions.
Yeah, so and that's
for
that's
the following year.
Yeah, so we'll be we'll also have applications for volunteer firefighter exemption. It'll be I can't remember actually what the ordinance said. Kim, do you remember? The first 10,000.
Yes, 10,000.
Still new to me, so. Yeah. We'll have an application similar to the deadline for senior exemptions and fire suppression. So we'll come out with that, and the first $10,000 of property value will be deducted. So thanks to all the volunteers, and this will be a nice incentive for folks to join on to the department as well.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thank you. Good report. Borough Clerk's report, please.
Mine is more brief than that. So... huge thank you for everybody that helped me during the election. The election staff, Sarah Merritt, my chairperson, Dan Reeves, and John Couts were my workers, and they did an excellent job. The percentage of voter turnout was 11%, which was not great. Last year it was 31%, but I mean, we're up 44 people registered than last year, so that's good. So, I mean, I just kind of look at that for next year. I am also Capital Facilities. Thank you so much for having your worker help. He did an excellent job. He even put together the election equipment. So Sarah was very, very happy about that. So thank you so much. I don't want to miss that. I'm thinking about doing the parliamentary and OME training this year on November 13th. So I'll probably send out an email to the assembly to see if you would be available. And I think it's just more beneficial if I do it instead of having the attorney kind of do it. So
I agree. Any questions, comments?
Oh, there is one other thing. The economic development.